Today, household finance confidence on the blink again. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. We've released the June 2018 edition of our Household Finance Confidence Index, which draws information from our rolling household surveys. In June, the overall index fell once again to 89.7, well below the 100% neutral setting and down from 90.2 last month. By way of background, these results are derived from our household surveys averaged across Australia. We have 52,000 households in our sample at any one time. We include detailed questions covering various aspects of a household financial footprint. The index measures how households are feeling about their financial health. To calculate the index, we ask questions which cover a number of different dimensions. We start by asking households how confident they're feeling about their job security, whether their real income has risen or fallen in the past year, their view on their cost of living over the same period, whether they've increased their loans and other outstanding debts, including credit cards, and whether they're saving more than last year. Finally, we ask about their overall change in net worth over the past 12 months. And by net worth, we mean assets less outstanding debts. Looking at the results across the states, we see further falls in New South Wales and Victoria, a small fall in Western Australia, but small rises in Queensland and South Australia. Looking across our property segments, those who are renting or living with families or friends returned a small rise, reflecting expected tax changes and increments on some wages for the new financial year. However, those owning or investing in property were significantly less bullish, and that drowned out any benefit from the tax changes. Property investors are getting very nervous as prices decline, interest rates rise, and rental streams are crimped. We noted a rise in vacancy rates in a number of areas. Owner-occupied households were a little more positive, relatively speaking, although they've dipped below the neutral setting from April onwards. Across the age bands, older households were more bullish, with those over 60 years and between 50 and 60 years a little more positive on the back of the recent tax changes, which will come in from the 1st of July 2018. On the other hand, younger households are consistently less positive, especially those who purchased a property within the last couple of years. Those aged 30 to 40 years are under the most pressure. Those with savings in the banks remain concerned. We can examine the drivers across the dimensions in our survey. In terms of job security, there was a small fall last month, with those feeling more secure up by 0.65% to 11.8%. On the other hand, those less secure also rose by 0.78% to 27.9%, with a consistent theme of limited hours coming to the fore. We continue to see a rise in households managing multiple concurrent part-time jobs to make ends meet. Turning to income, there was no indication of significant income rises before the new financial year. Next month may be different. 52.7% said that their incomes had fallen in real terms over the past year, and 44% reported no change. Once again, we see evidence of limited hours driving underemployment higher. And so, with regard to gross income, there is just no light at the end of the tunnel yet. Costs of living continue to rise, with 81.3% seeing their expenditure rising thanks to the usual suspects, including electricity, childcare, school fees and health insurance costs. There are also signs of pressure from food costs and council rates. Only 2.2% reported seeing their costs fallen over the past 12 months. The reported CPI rates appear to be disconnected from reality. Debt remains a major issue, with mortgages being at the front line. Households remain highly leveraged. Some households with lower loan-to-value ratios have been able to switch to other cheaper loans, but more than 40% of households seeking to refinance have been knocked back in the past 3 months, up from 5% a year ago, a hallmark of the current lending environment. We also continue to see many households adding to their overall debt via credit cards or other loans. The new positive credit environment, which commenced the 1st of July 2018, will change the game ahead. Credit may become harder to source for some. On the other hand, households continue to dip into their savings to maintain lifestyle and budgets. 46% of households are less comfortable with the level of their savings compared with a year ago. Many responses highlighted the recent collapse in bank deposit interest rates as ADIs try to manage their margins. Around the same, 46% of households reported no change. Significantly, more than one-third of households with an owner-occupied mortgage had savings of less than the equivalent of 1 month's mortgage repayments. The other two-thirds had significantly larger resources, which would insulate them in a downturn, at least for a time. Finally, we see that more households are reporting a fall in net worth, total assets less loans, and other liabilities, with 23% now saying they are worse off, up 0.95% in the month. 28% reported no change over the past year, and 46% reported growth in net worth, helped by the still significant run-up in home prices in recent years, now correcting, and rises in stocks in recent months. Generally, those with more assets are still seeing rises compared with an average Australian household. This highlights the two-speed story across the country, depending on affluence. We also continue to see a tranche of highly leveraged, high net worth households having to cope with financial pressures as home prices and rentals move against them, and the impact of switching from interest only to principal and interest loans hit home. We would expect a small bounce in the index next month as some incomes rise in the new tax year and other changes take effect, but the impact of the failing property sector and cash flow constraints are likely to dwarf this impact. The only get out of jail card will be income growth above inflation, and as yet there is little evidence of this occurring. Thus, we expect the long grind to continue. Finally, we see a number of attractor rates from the banks in an attempt to keep mortgage volumes up, but many households cannot access these in the new tighter lending environment. In addition, the reduction in rates on some deposit accounts is also hitting the hip pockets of many who rely on income from them. We noted in the survey that a number of households were actively seeking alternative savings vehicles as property and bank deposits look less interesting. We'll have to see whether these alternatives are as attractive in terms of risk return as some are claiming. We have our doubts. But then, risk is relative. We will update the index next month. Before I sign off, a final reminder of tonight's live streaming event at 8 p.m. Sydney time, where you can discuss in real time the issues in play. And judging by the previous sessions, this will be a lively event. This time we'll be focusing on financial resilience. I've scheduled the event on our YouTube channel, or send me questions beforehand via the comments section below. And if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.